We're going to turn to God's Word again. We're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, carrying on the story of Elijah. It's page 359 in your pew Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we read the first 15 verses of this chapter. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground and said, "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you're handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death. As surely as the Lord your God lives, there's not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I had 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here?' He will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." And I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage. Whenever I was a young boy, I would have asked my mum and dad for sweets. Or maybe it was coming up to Christmas or to a birthday, and I would have asked for a present. And like most young people, it wouldn't have taken long for me to ask for something else. And this usually ended up with me being told in no uncertain terms, "Stuart, you're never satisfied." And the truth is that today I haven't really changed. It's not the first time I've asked somebody to do something in church, and maybe quite reluctantly and tentatively they've agreed to do it, and they've done it well. And then I've gone to them and asked for something else, and they've said to me, "Stuart, you're never satisfied." I think this is how Obadiah felt whenever he met Elijah and he was told, "Go and tell your master, Elijah is here." Verse 8 of chapter 18, which we just read. The famine and the drought have really taken hold. It's been 3 years, we find that in verse 1, since Elijah told Ahab that there would be no more rain or dew until he said so. That was back in chapter 17. While Elijah was in Zarephath, God showed his desire to protect life and to nourish life as he provided for, for Elijah, the widow, and her son. And he even brought the widow's son back to life after he had died. Ahab, on the other hand, he demonstrates that he is concerned not for the lives of his people, but for his own wealth and his military might. He's concerned about his horses and mules who would pull his chariots and give him his status. And so he commands Obadiah to go in one direction and Ahab to go in the other, to look for some small patch of grass and water in order to feed the animals. In verse 5, we see it on the screens. He said, maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so we'll not have to kill off any of our animals. Ahab is certainly not a king after God's own heart. But it was while Obadiah was searching for this grass that he met Elijah. The time had come for Elijah to demonstrate just how far Ahab had departed from the word of God. But first, Obadiah will have to receive a lesson in what it means to truly trust in Yahweh, to truly be a follower of God. Obadiah was the palace administrator, part of Ahab's civil service. He was a believer in Yahweh, and he demonstrated his faith as he hid 100 prophets, 50 in two groups of two caves, whenever Jezebel was trying to kill them. Remember, Jezebel is Ahab's wife. She worshipped the Baals. She was quite antagonistic against the prophets of God, wanting to kill them. Maybe she thought by silencing the prophets that she would silence God or strip him of his power and so the rain would come back. But we discover that even in the middle of Ahab's incredibly idolatrous reign, God still has his prophets. There are still people who refuse to bow the knee to the Baals. Later in the story, we will discover just how many were loyal to God. In chapter 19, verse 18, in a few weeks we will read, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal. 7,000 who have remained loyal to God. Today, there are places on earth where to follow Christ can result in death. How many Christians have been killed down through the years in communist China or the old Soviet Union? How many have been killed at the hands of ISIS? How often have we heard of churches being blown up in places such as Egypt? Today, in many countries, a Muslim who converts to Christianity faces a death sentence. Yet the church is growing fastest where it appears there is most danger. God continues today to reserve for himself Christians who will not bow to other gods, who remain faithful to God no matter what they face. Obadiah is such a person in such a position. He's close to Ahab. More significantly, he's close to Jezebel. And he protects this secret church in two caves. Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in two caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. And in doing such a thing, Obadiah has put himself at great risk. And so it's understandable then that he is more than just a little reluctant to go before Ahab and announce that he has found Elijah. What have I done wrong? He asks in verse 9. Obadiah explains to Elijah, I've done my bit. I've taken risks. In secret, I've hidden all of these prophets, and now you want me to appear before Ahab. He will surely kill me. While places such as the Middle East are undoubtedly incredibly dangerous for Christians, this doesn't mean that we in the West and here in Moneydig that we don't also fear our faith being discovered. We don't face death, and I'm not comparing what we go through to Christians in Libya or Iran or Iraq or anywhere like that. But we fear our faith being discovered. Our families or our workplaces can be hostile places. Our lives aren't threatened, but our pride and sense of security are. We fear ridicule, being made to feel daft or inadequate. And so it's as though we've become a secret church. Sure, people know we come Sunday by Sunday. But for many, that's as far as our public commitment goes. We don't talk about our faith in Jesus. We don't talk about forgiveness. We don't talk about heaven, let alone hell. And it doesn't mean that our faith is inadequate or invalid. Many of us are doing wonderful things here in church, serving God faithfully. We lead organizations. We look after our church buildings. We pray faithfully and passionately. And God is pleased with our faithfulness. He's pleased with the fact that we are faithful in these matters. But he wants more for us and from us. In the first week of our Elijah story, we talked about the importance of spending time with God, learning to trust God. Elijah was fed beside the brook in order to learn what it meant to really trust and depend on God. And so God wants to teach us what it means to trust him in order that we would do more for him. Elijah assured Obadiah that he wouldn't send him on a fool's errand, that he would stay and that he would meet Ahab. As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today. Verse 15. And Obadiah's response was to go and to find Ahab. I want to prefix what I'm about to say by telling you that whenever I was at work, I found it incredibly difficult to talk about my faith. But that is exactly what God calls us to do. He wants us to trust him with all of the embarrassment, with all of the awkwardness, the consequences of telling others about our faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what we have done for God in church. It doesn't matter how many prophets we've hidden, to put it into the context of Obadiah. God is never satisfied. He always wants to push us. He always wants more, in order that we would learn to trust him more. The Apostle Paul understood this when he said, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Philippians 3:10, we read it earlier with the children. And this isn't some form of sadomasochism. It's not self-flagellation, trying to purify ourselves. No, Paul is talking about surrendering every part of our lives, even life itself, to God. Becoming like Christ, who surrendered even to the cross. And it's in this surrender that we become Christ, like Christ, not just in death, but in resurrection. It's the realization that regardless of what the cost is today, the reward of the resurrection is far greater. Obadiah feared for his life. Elijah taught him what it was to trust his life with Christ, to trust his life with God, going beyond what he'd already done, and to publicly nail his colors to the mast. Have we publicly nailed our colors to the mast? Paul teaches that even he hadn't achieved all of this. But he forgot what was behind and he pressed on. That every step of faith simply leads to another step of faith. That God is taking us on a journey where he teaches us what it means to trust him more and more. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus said, "I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance." It's not that Jesus hasn't seen what we have done, but he calls us to further service. He calls us to trust him more by surrendering ourselves more. He calls on us to deepen our relationship with him. In just a few moments, we're going to respond to God's word by singing the hymn, "Praise the Name." And we will stand to sing. And once we finish singing, I want us to remain standing for just a few moments of silence. And in that silence, I want us to think about how we can deepen our relationship with God, how we can trust him more. To listen for God's voice telling us how he wants us to trust him. Maybe it will be by naming the person that we are going to be very intentional about sharing our faith with, or who we will ask if we can read the Bible with, or how we will pray. Or maybe for some it will be taking that very first step of faith, trusting Christ for the first time. I want us to use the silence and this opportunity to make this our covenantal response to God, trusting in Christ. And then after that,